Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday. Today is Sports Talk Sunday. The second of Tam Reports, I am Beth. Just during the last show, I said I might schedule a special show today, and so I kept my word. I did just that. And today is a big day for the LA Lakers and the Mavericks, huh? Shout out to both teams. So may the best team win. I do not know the final score, surprisingly, of the Heat and the Knicks. But call in and chime in and let's talk sports. Let's talk about the Saints, county program, what's up in golf, or who do you see going all the way in the playoffs? Some people don't believe the Mavs will make it to the playoffs. I definitely do believe it. And speaking of playoffs, the playoff tickets went on sale yesterday, and it's starting at price $12. Hopefully I can pull up my emails or pull up the website during the show to provide you all with more information. I hope I can make it to a playoff game this year. But I'm just checking out different stories because we're mainly talking about sports today. And chime in, 714-409-0614. That was Austin Brown's show. If you've missed like the past couple of shows, that was a song called Stargazer. I love that song. Well, what song do I not love by Austin Brown, huh? Good point. Because to be honest, there's not a song by Janet Jackson I do not like. I don't think there's a song that I dislike by the Jackson family, period. Honestly, just like Prince. I don't think Prince can put out a bad tune to myself. And also Madonna. I see my friend Reg Roughneck, my Miss Jackson City homie. We've known each other literally since we were hip high, and also longtime DFW Big D resident is on the line. He and I have been talking, and he might not talk too much about. I won't say anything, but we've been talking about different things from bounty program to Peyton Manning to players playing injured and not playing injured. To our longtime friend, we've been talking about Jimmy Smith. We've been talking about pretty much everything during our personal conversations. And so now we're going to chime in and talk sports. And you know when Reg Roughneck talks, he really shares his perspective and so on. So I'm going to go ahead and chime in to him. But you all check out, I produced a music presentation today on my other internet show, Springer.com. So you all check it out. It's kind of raw. It's not as polished as it should be because it's my premiere of, it wasn't my first show with Springer.com because I do share commentary and talk about different things on Springer. But this is my first musical presentation with Springer. And I originally was supposed to present a musical presentation on Valentine's Day, spotlighting Prince and Abby Short. So that's definitely still in the works. But today's artists that I presented were obviously Austin Brown, Morris Mills, whose song Round and Round is my intro song, and one of my favorite reggae groups based in L.A., Dread Date. So I played back-to-back songs, and check me out. I'm your host, DJ, and producer of Culture Shock Entertainment Presents on Springer.com. And I'm Springer.com/, same as this URL, except it's Beth Williams. And you can search like my DJ name. It's my longtime name. It's a pen name of mine, Be True. Because my pseudonym name is Beth Nelson. I have another pen name, Be True, my DJ name, poet name, so on. Be True, B period, T-R-U. But check it out. You know, I was kind of amazed at the listeners that did check it out today. But Sunday's presentation is called, Sunday Mood Music. So just awesome music. You'll be hearing the likes of Madonna and Donna Summer and Prince and just different Depeche Mode, just different type and variety of genres in the near future, especially on Sundays when it comes to just chilling music, music that you can just groove to. And also support my friend Butterfly Sweet also, who is always laying down awesome, awesome tracks on her Sprinkle.com show also. She hosts the BlogTalkRadio.com show also. But it's time to chime in with my friend Reg Roughneck, and shout out to Martini PhD. I talked to him earlier today, and we are super, super excited. My supporters, his supporters, our mutual supporters, we are just super excited regarding Martini PhD weekend happening in Jacktown, when his tour stops in Jacktown. And then when he leaves Jacktown, he's going to his hometown, Columbus, Ohio. I would love to go to Columbus, Ohio, to be honest, and check the place out. Another one of my favorite people is a native of that town, Lewis Howes, creator of Sports Networker and Sports Executive Associations. And congrats to Lewis, because he's been doing some amazing work. He's now a new writer for Forbes magazine. And, you know, he's been recognized recently for being so successful under the age of 30, because, you know, he just turned 29. And so it's just amazing, amazing. So shout out to he's spending time his big sister, who is a little tiny something, this weekend in New York. The sister whom he only a few years ago was sleeping on her couch, and when he had zero bank account, and now he's a multimillionaire from hard work. And, you know, he definitely wanted to play for the NFL, but as an arena player, something Reg and I talked about earlier when we were talking about Peyton Manning, how good and important it was for Peyton Manning to take off that year. Because unlike Peyton Manning, when Lewis Howes was an arena football player, professional football player, he was injured and he didn't take off a year. He played that entire year, season, with his injuries, and then after the season end, he had to have surgery, and that surgery is when his career ended in playing for arena football. He really, really wanted to play for the NFL also. But, you know, he's a very successful internet marketer, and he's still an athlete because he plays for the New York City handball team. So shout out to his team also. But it's time to just let's see what Reg Roughneck has to talk about. And I'll let Reg tell you all some things if he want to tell you all some things that he's been going through. Austin Brown still want to jam a little bit. Please excuse me. What's up, Reg Roughneck?
Hello, my beauty. How you doing?
Hello, Mr. Chocolate.
Okay. It took a lot of time for you to write that one, huh?
No, I didn't write that one. You caught me off guard, called me Miss Beauty, so thank you so much.
I know, but I'm just...
You know, you think I'm beautiful,
that was
but Buckle Five are, you know, maybe lose pounds. So it's good to know that you do consider me beautiful, and regardless of what it says on the scale, because you know I'm working on reducing some pounds. So it's good to know you do think you're beautiful regardless of...
A woman's not known by pounds alone, so you know how that goes.
So thank you. You made me feel so special.
Okay. That's what it's all about.
And now to time for the hardcore talk.
Sure. Yeah. That's when we get paid the big bucks.
Oh, my God.
But,
I try to bite my tongue and not talk about some things, but
considering how we've seemed like we've gotten a few friends that's got the ear to the ground and when we talk. Yeah, but since we seem like we've garnered a covert audience, we'll try not to step on too many toes, but you know. I still have my steel toes out anyway.
Please call us, listeners.
Yeah, but I'm...
Because Reg would like to talk to you. You all call sometimes when I'm alone, when I'm hosting solo, but Reg would like to talk to some callers also. Call us, 714-409-0614. But what were you saying?
No, I was just making the point. That... this week, the NFL is supposed to be discussing the suspension of the players, and they have been very in the dark. They've been keeping everybody in the dark about how many players are exactly involved and whom will be targeted and for how long, because they're going to try not to affect the roster.
I always hear up to 22 players, and that's scary.
Well, this is, like I said, this is going to be a precedent of immense proportions. And how they dish this out and how they deal is going to, you know, it's definitely going to set a precedent, because now other teams are going to have to be wary of how they're going to have to do things from now on. Because like I was telling you off the air, the NFL is already dealing with a lot of scrutiny behind how they play the game. Because now hitting is going to be watched now more than ever. And I mean ever. Because now whenever a person gets hit, now they got to be not only worried about the intensity of the hit, then they got to worry about, is this one going to go to the office? How many games can I get suspended for? How much money am I going to be out of it? You know, so it's a lot of things you're thinking about while you're out there trying to play. Say it again, Bethany.
I was thinking about those fines. So those fines can be pretty
right. Right. I mean, $75,000 used to be a player's salary for the whole year once upon a time. Now you're talking, I mean, you know, $75,000 nonetheless. I mean, you know, you can put that. That's a lot of gas. That's a lot of gas money for people's cars these days.
Exactly.
So, no, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Go ahead. After you make your point, I'll talk about what I was about to talk about. And what were you saying?
No, it's just the fact that, you know, people don't really take any consideration how fast and how intense the game of football is. And now when a person already has to think about how they got to take on the opponent in front of them, and then you got to worry about when a person's coming around the end with the ball, you got to worry about how you're going to try to tackle them. Because, you know, what they might as well do now, they might as well just grab them, hold them, and blow the whistle. Because, you know what I mean, you can't have it both ways. I mean, the offensive guys, they're coming full speed. They're not holding back. Now, as a defense player, you got to hold back, which can risk you to getting injured. You know, you can be susceptible to getting injured bad and getting knocked out. So, I mean, this is really putting things very – things are already tense enough as it is. So, what's the man to do? That's part of the reason why, you know, defenses are just playing – they're just playing like a turnstile now, because they know they can't do anything. You can't rush the quarterback, can't hit him too hard. Seems like the only person you can hit halfway hard enough is the running back, and you can't even jack the receivers up anymore. So, kind of leaves very few options. I mean, now you're going to be having quarterbacks probably throwing for 6,000 yards now instead of 5,000. Because, you know, you can't hit the receivers. I mean, you can't hardly touch them when they're running down the field, you know. I mean, a defensive coordinator and defensive team, they got a lot to consider and got a lot to have to prepare for to play as far as game planning. Because, you know, everything's going to be scrutinized now. And so I'm dying to see how this season turns out.
And then I can imagine that some teams are walking on eggshells, those that don't even practice the bounding program, but because they might fear hitting opponents hard, thinking that they might get accused of, hey, wait a second, we saw how you hit that particular player. Wait a second, what's going on with this team? So you think that happened with some of the players I saw on teams that don't even have bounding programs, that maybe – they're like, I would say fearful, but they're going to have to be careful in the way they might appear.
Right. If it's not happening, it's going to happen. Because now everybody's a suspect. Everything's suspect now.
You know, true fans and lovers of the sports and former players like you, We want to see hardcore ball, but without our players being, like, taken out of the game, taking just a career ending, we want to see hardcore sports.
Okay. You know, I mean, the game's going to be hard regardless, but the thing about it is, as I made this analogy before, like Ronnie Lott said, football is war without guns, without bullets, and without rockets and grenades and everything. I mean, you have to plan everything like it's war. You have to strategize. You have to go through film. And like I was telling you about how up to like I think about in the mid '90s, how coaches had to be careful about how they call the plays on the sideline, and that's why a lot of times you see coaches covering their mouths up. With the chart or the notepad when they call a play, so they try not to give away because other teams have hired lip readers to look at what they're saying. They don't know the play.
I definitely noticed Coach Sean does that often. Put that clipboard up to his mouth.
Right. Put that play chart right up into his mouth and cover his mouth. They've been doing it ever since like 90, probably like 96, 97 season because, it got found out that, a couple of teams had hired some professional lip readers and it was intercepting their plays.
Yeah.
So once you start knowing the cadence,
that was something recently in the news, a couple of seasons ago, right?
When the Patriots was doing it, and Belichick got into a little trouble behind that because, they were stealing the hand signals. They was doing the hand signals and also, and it was also able to pick the snap count. If you can decipher a snap count, that's a heck of an advantage you have on the offense because now the offense, the offense already trying to set themselves around a play. You already know when they're going to hike the ball.
Okay.
I mean, because a lot of times quarterbacks use the snap count to draw defenses off sides and try to catch them because that split second you have from the time the ball is hiked to the time you run into play makes a difference to whether or not you get any penetration, especially on 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1. You got to know which gap to fill and how to it helps as far as how you read the plays. So if you can anticipate what the other guy's doing before they even do it, it's a supreme advantage.
Okay.
So yeah, those are some of the things that count, that goes into when you're playing football.
All about leverage. Okay, not to change the subject, we can get back on that. But what was the final score for the Knicks and the Heat?
I don't know the score. I know the Heat won. I think the Heat won like by 4 or 5 points.
Okay, I thought it was gonna be close like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Not Lakers and Mavs Nation time.
The Mavs are handling business. They got them up by 5. It's 5 minutes left before halftime, and Dallas is up 40-35.
And Pope is not playing, or is he playing? Because I keep seeing reports that he's definitely out. Is he playing or not?
No, he's not.
I keep seeing reports that he's out the game.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how much of a difference that makes, that varies. But, Jason Kidd came out here smoking, so, I mean, he came out here lighting it up early, so. But, I think that the Lakers is taking a very strategic approach to getting ready for the playoffs. And, they said if this was a playoff game, Kobe would be playing. So they're just trying to rest him because, when he get up there in age, legs do take a punishment doing all that running and jumping he do on the court, year after year.
Yeah.
Jason Kidd had like a couple games where he was resting. Now he's out here, he's fits and fresh.
Okay, now something else you and I talked about off the air that you said a lot of people are saying that the Mavericks aren't going to make it to the playoffs, but you and I believe that they will. So, you know, what's your perspective on that?
I think that, you know, especially when you're a defending champion, you know, of course you always want to try to get get some type of push going into the playoffs. But considering, you know, this has been an off year, you know, they had the lockout and everything, and that kind of took away some of the continuity they wanted to try to bring going into the season. And, you know, so they've been kind of struggling with this season. But, you know, all they cared about was if we can get to the playoffs, we'll worry about it when we get to the playoffs. So I think that's the perspective you have to keep when you're a veteran team. So, I mean, the Spurs, look at how the Spurs have played this year. They played quite well. In fact, they're contending for the conference, for the best record in the conference. And, you know, the Spurs is the type of team they love to – they know how to coast during the season, kind of crank it up toward the end, so they're ready for the playoffs. So you have to be ready for the playoffs, and that's what you really have to – that's what you got to boil down to.
That's when the best of the best really show up.
Exactly. So you definitely want to have your guys in about as best shape they're going to be in, because, you know, dealing with the season is already going to be grueling enough, and that's in any sport. But you always want to have your players at their best, at their possible best for the playoffs. So that ensures the best chance to win. Like, look at how the Giants played. They was one play away from being out of the playoffs. All of Miles off could have just caught that third down pass. They wouldn't be talking about the Giants. But what the Giants do, they got a second win. They cranked it up, and they hit it at the right time. They hit a winning streak at the right time, and now they're champions.
Okay, the live streaming will stop in a minute, but we're going to continue talking for another 10 to 15 minutes because there's a lot of sports to talk about. Okay.
Yeah, so that's always a strategy a coach likes to employ. For any team is to have your team at the best playoff run, and that's where we are right now. So
yep, you
can
kind
of
believe the Lakers. You think it's gonna make the playoffs? The Clippers. Congrats again to Who Dat Nation, Mr. Tom Benson and his family are now the new proud owners of the New Orleans Hornets.
So, yeah, like I said. Benson seems like he's going to live forever, don't he?
repeat that.
I said, oh, Tom Benson, that man going to live forever.
Oh, yeah.
I know that man got to be in his 80s, but, hey,
yeah.
Look at Ralph Wilson, the owner of the Bills. He's over 90, and he's still going strong.
Yeah.
So
the love of sports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're still owning and running their organization, running their team, just like they run it business as usual. So I really applaud them to have to deal with all the things they have to deal with. It's a lot of responsibility, handling all that personnel, all that money, all the all the other organizational responsibilities to go with owning a football team.
Yeah.
You know,
and the negative. And a negative sign.
Yeah. You know, signing all them checks and all them invoices and all them documents. I would go crazy if I had to do all that. think about how Al Davis ran the Raiders all the years that he ran it.
Mm-hmm.
Even when that man was in his deathbed, he was still calling the plays.
Exactly.
I'm just
kind
of joking on that, huh?
But it was that's true though.
Al Davis was handling all the personnel, He's still handling all the personnel things. We went all the way through his last days on Earth. So, I mean, in spite of his failing health, his mind was as sharp as he can get.
Amazing. Wow. Amazing, amazing, amazing. I wonder what players will be attracted to the Hornets now, since they're privately owned now and not owned by the league.
Well, that's, you know, I guess that's one of the fun parts when you acquire a team. You take a look at the personnel, see what you have, see what you got going into the next season. Try to make a couple of moves, try to make a couple of acquisitions, and see how that next season comes about. Usually when you do something like that, most of the time if you're really on top of things, a good 2-3 years, you'd be surprised what you're rebuilding. I mean, look at how fast the Cowboys got better. And especially after that Herschel Walker trade, that was one of the biggest trades of that decade.
Wow.
And the Cowboys was like in the Super Bowl for 3 years after that Herschel Walker trade. And I don't know if you heard the rumor, but, and I do say rumor, Herschel Walker just turned 50, and he's contemplating a comeback in the NFL.
A comeback to what?
Huh?
A comeback for what?
Playing running back in the NFL. He's contemplating a comeback.
Way.
How true that is, I don't know.
I know he wrote a successful book a couple years ago, and been a book about what Manny Depressive. I haven't read the book, but I know.
Kind of what he is wasn't so much manic depressive, more like intermittent explosive disorder, where a person could go into a violent rage if provoked.
Yeah.
Right.
But he's talking about arena football or NFL?
NFL. You know, he discussed how a guy was supposed to have been meeting with him about
on the field or as personnel?
Personal. He's talking about personnel and on the field.
I'm talking about as personnel or
I'm talking about playing.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's impossible, but this is wild. Wow. I mean, go for it if he's in the shape. Because I've seen recent interviews.
He said he's in the shape.
I've seen him, like, in the fall, and he looked good. But, wow. I know you and I both talk about how we believe Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin can get back out there on the field. But Herschel Walker at age 50? I'm not saying it's not possible. This is new news to me. Wow.
To my understanding, he said he can still run a 40 and 4.2, 4.3 speed. Well, let me not lie too much. 4.3, maybe 4.4. But he said, you know, he can still run a 40 in the high fours. And he's bench. I mean, I don't know. He never really bench pressed a lot, but he did a lot of push-ups. Say he can still do as much as 750 push-ups a day. So I don't know how much that translates to as far as bench press strength, which is what they like to try to base things off of. But, you know, with all he got to do is try to just work off the rust. I mean, hey, why not? He said he wants to be the George Foreman of football.
I think it's a better way. Yeah, go for it. I'm gonna have to look at. Ooh, check this out. I'm not saying he can't do it. This is new news. Wow.
Right, right. I'm not gonna say he can't do it either, because I mean, I feel that if Jerry Rice wanted to come back, he could come back. Yeah, like I said, the little chicken scratch way that they're trying to do football now. I mean, why not? They don't have to worry about getting. They want, huh?
I thought you took me saying chicken scratch.
Yeah, hey, I mean, I don't know if we're still on the air or not, if anybody still hears or not. I'm just
we're
trying
on
to.
Air. We just stopped live streaming, but we still have a lot of listeners.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I have to play the role, so.
Just be
yourself. I don't want to get too gully on the radio, you know. You know, everybody already think I lost my mind anyway. Think I'm throwed off anyway. So I got to give them something to lie about.
Wow. Oh.
So yeah, I'm definitely going to be following that. I'm see if that's true or that's just a bunch of smoke. Because I think I've heard a few players talking about comeback, including Jimmy Smith. How true that is, I don't know, but
yeah, I believe Jimmy could come back. Yeah, and I need to find out more about what's going on. He's back in Dallas. What's up with the Cowboys? Because that's the team that first drafted him. What's up, Leon Lynn is back, but he's back as a coach, you know, assistant coach. So. Leon Lynn is back with the Cowboys.
Oh, Leon, yeah, I think he is back as a coach. I think you're right.
Assistant defensive line coach.
That sounds about right. But
yeah,
I mean, Leon Litt was great raw talent back when he played.
Yeah,
he was a very talented defensive lineman.
Now he and I are former schoolmates from Hines Community College, and he was inducted last homecoming weekend into the Hines Community College Hall of Fame. But then, you know, he had recently been teaching high school football in Monroe, so I was glad to hear that he's back with the Cowboys.
Well, I think that's something that would be great if the Cowboys could get a lot of some of the old players to come back and teach these youngsters how it's done, because they just don't have a clue. Yeah, I would love for Charles Haley to come back and coach the D-line or the linebackers.
That was the next name that was coming out of my mouth. But you and I love us from Charles Haley. I would love to see that.
Now, Charles Haley was part man, part machine back when he played. I mean, that guy was. I mean, that guy played the last 3 or 4 years with a shattered back, literally. I mean, it's back.
But Ken Norton Jr., he's still with USC.
Wasn't
he on the coaching staff for USC?
Yes.
But now he played with Charles Haley, right? And they were awesome together.
Right, they were awesome together. I loved them when they played. Kid Norton. I mean, Kid Norton is the only man in NFL history to win 3 straight Super Bowls with 2 different teams.
Whoa!
You know, a lot of people don't know that because when he went to San Francisco,
what other team?
Huh?
Tell the listeners what other team, because you're right, a lot of people don't know that.
He won 2 Super Bowls with Dallas, and then when Switzer became coach of the Cowboys, he went to the 49ers, and he played for the 49ers when they won that year. That year when the Cowboys won 3 out of 4 Super Bowls, but that one Super Bowl that the Cowboys didn't win was the year that the 49ers won. Because Switzer didn't win the first year. He won the second year he coached the Cowboys after Jimmy left.
So that's a nice little
trivia question we can use.
Because I know he's an expert with the USC coaching staff, but, you know, Charles Haley, you are so right. And it would be good if Emmitt or Michael, do they ever, like, consult with the team or with the players?
I mean, Emmitt coming back coaching, I don't know about Emmitt. Emmitt has such a docile mentality. Michael Irvin, he's always been firing brimstone as far as being a coach. He'd be out there so jacked up, he'd be wanting to run some of the routes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Mike Irvin is he's like a linebacker that played wide receiver. Mike Irvin was in a lot of ways, some people called him the toughest guy on the team because, you know, he didn't have a problem fighting anybody. I mean, but then I guess when you have 17 brothers and sisters in your family, fighting is like, you know, that's first, and you fall out of bed fighting, I'm sure, a lot of times.
Well, we have a couple more minutes. We have the NFL draft coming up in a couple of weeks. So you want to wait till then, or do you have any insight regarding the draft?
I would probably have more insight later, but, I mean, honestly, I mean, the only thing that is really – it's really not a lot of intrigue in this year's draft. I think the only intrigue now is after Andrew Luck goes to the Colts, what happens after that? I mean, but I know that a lot of teams are going to be trying to jock to try to get the higher picks. But, you know, it's just anybody's guess after number one and number two how the rest of the draft going to go. Because, honestly, anybody could be – anything can happen after first two picks. And St. Louis has a lot to consider with that, you know, they could very easily be – they could trade down. Because, I mean, they're not going to be looking for a quarterback. And I think Justin Blackman might make a great addition for the Rams. St. Louis Rams, they'll be picking. So I think he'd make a great receiver for him. But, I mean, it's anybody's guess as far as what happens after RG3 and Andrew Luck comes off the board.
Wow.
I don't think that RG3 endeared himself with the Colts because he didn't want to do a workout for them.
So where do you think
them.
He's going to land?
Say it again?
Where do you think he will land?
Redskins probably, and I would hate that for him because the Redskins seem to be jinxed when it comes to draft picks and free agents. So high draft picks and free agents don't seem to work out with the Redskins for some reason. But I guess we'll just wait and see and cross our fingers on how that works out. But RG3 has some very good mechanics for a quarterback. I saw a workout he did. I was highly impressed by his technique. You know, you don't really get to see on a one-on-one basis like you see in the game. But he's more than just a scrambling quarterback or a running quarterback. I think he's going to be just as impressive as like Cam Newton was last year.
Yay! Yeah, you were talking about workouts, because I've been checking out some of Cam Newton workouts. I try to post new vids and so on, but, yeah, his workouts are awesome.